All right. I want to welcome everyone. It's 6 o'clock, so out of respect for your time, we're going to go ahead and get started. I want to thank everyone for joining us. This is the second neighborhood meeting for a proposed drive-through use on the southwest corner of Lambert Lane and La Cunada Drive. We have about 30 people in here, and I think we have about another six people joining us online. So my name is Malini Sims. I'm a principal planner with the town of Oro Valley, and I will also be the facilitator for tonight's meeting. So as the facilitator, I aim to run the meeting in a neutral manner and provide opportunities to have your questions addressed, hear your comments or concerns, but also discuss possible design solutions to mitigate some of your concerns. Now to do this, I need everyone's help. You'll see on the screen behind me, as well as passed out when you walked in, is a set of ground rules. The biggest takeaway on the ground rules is that everyone agrees to treat each other with respect as we all strive towards a common goal of having a civil and productive discussion. Now, I do ask that you don't speak out of turn or clap or do other interruptions that are disruptive to the conversation. So by a show, a head nod or a thumbs up, does everyone agree to the ground rules? All right, thank you. All right, so just some logistics before we get going this evening. We are scheduled to go till 7:30 p.m. If this is your first time joining us at Town Hall, there are restrooms as well as a drinking fountain right out the doors and to your right. Now, for those joining us on Zoom, everyone will be muted until it is your turn to speak. If at any point in this evening you're having trouble with Zoom, please make sure you contact Michael Spaeth at 520-229-4812, and he can give you some assistance. Now, I will be giving more instructions on how to participate via Zoom later in the evening. So by a show of hands, who received a yellow postcard inviting them to this meeting? Okay, a few of you. So for those of you who did not receive a postcard, I encourage you to make sure you sign in before you leave tonight, because that way you'll be added to our notification list and we can make sure you receive one in the future. Also on that front table, if you didn't pick one up, is a summary from the first neighborhood meeting. I also encourage you to pick one of these up if you didn't yet, because we will be using it later in the meeting. And then lastly, I want to encourage everyone to visit ovprojects.com. There's a page dedicated to this project on there, and it has the applicant's most recent submittal, that neighborhood meeting summary, and a recording of tonight's meeting will also be posted there. All right. So where are we in the process? How many of you were at the first neighborhood meeting held almost a year ago? Oh, good amount of you. Great. So since that neighborhood meeting, we have received a formal application from the property owner, and it has been reviewed by staff. Now, it is important to mention that this request is to develop private property. It is not the town's request, and all private property owners have the right to request review of their request. And it's the town's responsibility to give due process. Now, where we are right now in the process is at that second neighborhood meeting. And the purpose of this meeting is to continue that previous conversation we had a year ago. And again, and most importantly, is to discuss possible design solutions to mitigate some of the concerns. Now, after the neighborhood meeting process is done, this request requires consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission, as well as Town Council. And the Planning and Zoning Commission public hearing is tentatively scheduled for August. And again, that's where it's important that you make sure you're on a notification list, because we'll be sending out postcards as well as posting the yellow signs on the property when that meeting is scheduled. Now, for the neighborhood meeting, I can't emphasize enough that this is the best opportunity for you to effectuate design changes. Your feedback is critical in shaping the proposal that will ultimately be considered by Town Council. So our goals for tonight is, first, we want to make sure that everyone leaves tonight with an understanding of the review process, opportunities for you to get involved, as well as what is being proposed. We also want to make sure that we have a comprehensive list of the questions and concerns. So we're going to be adding to the list that we handed out earlier, and to make sure that it is accurately summarizing the first neighborhood meeting and tonight's discussion. And then lastly, but most importantly, is we want to take an opportunity to really discuss in detail your concerns and see if there's any possible design solutions to mitigate those. So for tonight's agenda, first, Mr. Kyle Packer, who's a senior planner with the town and the town's leading plan reviewer, is going to walk us through the background information, the code requirements, and history of the site. Next, Mr. Rory Juneman, who's representing the private property owner, is going to walk us through what they're proposing and specifically what's changed since that first neighborhood meeting. And then lastly, and most importantly, is we're going to open the evening up to you because we want to hear your questions, comments, or concerns. Now, I do ask that you hold those until the presentations are done, and so everyone online and can hear as well. And so with that, I'm going to ask Mr. Packer to please provide his presentation.
Thank you very much. Thanks. All righty. Again, my name is Kyle Packer, and I'm a senior planner with the town here. I'd like to start just with some of the context, the location here. Again, this project is proposed at the southwest corner of Lambert and La Cañada in the Cañada Crossroads Plaza. The parcel is highlighted here in blue in both images, and on that right image you can see that this parcel is just south of Harvest and north of Cafe Torino. The applicant's proposal is for a conditional use permit for that drive-through use and a development plan that includes a 1,649 square foot building that is proposed to be 20 feet tall. There's also going to be an outdoor patio and a drive-through with a screen wall and landscaping and 32 parking spaces, and the applicant will go a little bit more into this as they make their own presentation. Looking to the zoning and history of this parcel, this property is zoned CN, or Neighborhood Commercial. This kind of zoning allows restaurants, offices, retail, and other similar uses, and the center's development plans were approved in 1999, so the center is approximately 71% built out at this point, all of those buildings in black being that portion and the remaining orange parcels being the remaining two vacant commercial sites. Now, for this parcel, the allowed height is 25 feet, and the allowed building size, again, per the already approved development plans from 1999, are 5,950 square feet. So the applicant's proposal at this time is about a 72% decrease in footprint between those two. Looking to the conditional use permit and plan review process, again, a drive-through requires a conditional use permit. Staff review a number of factors to check conformance for that, primarily the zoning code, which includes CUP criteria. Now, that focuses primarily on thematic compatibility, making sure that any use that's conditional use gets a slightly stronger review and ensures compatibility with the surrounding uses, namely the drive-through use, the quality of the architecture, other elements being the traffic and queuing, noise, view impacts, those kind of elements. And you'll see, similar with that drive-through use, screening standards, including the screen wall shown here on the bottom of the slide, are all factors. Now, finally, the applicant is requesting a distance reduction. Drive-through uses require 250 feet of separation from residential property. However, town council may reduce this requirement when major barriers exist to mitigate impacts. In the code, those major barriers examples include buildings and hillsides. So shown here, it's approximately 185 feet between the applicant property and the nearest residential property. And the applicant is requesting that reduction based on the existing building that is between these uses, as well as the hillside and the screen wall that are similarly between that closest residence and this property. And the applicant is also here with a presentation of their own tonight.
Thank you. You betcha. You want me to take this? All right. All right, good evening, everybody. My name's Rory Juneman. I'm a land use attorney in Tucson, and our firm specializes in these kinds of processes, helping property owners kind of get through the development process, doing things like conditional use permits and rezonings. I do want to introduce a couple people who are here. Nico Friccioni is the owner of the property, and James McMurtry is our civil engineer. Is Riaz here? Landscape architect isn't here. And then Samit Patel is the person who will be the operator. He owns two tropical smoothie cafes in Tucson, and this would be another. He's got a few more that are in the works around town. So they may be helping me answer some questions, so I just wanted to introduce them. So for my agenda, it should be maybe about a 15-minute presentation. Kyle's already kind of gone through the existing property, but I do want to speak a little bit more about the development plan. I'll talk about some of the feedback we got at our last meeting, but you have in your packet of information kind of a summary of the questions that were asked there. I'm going to address a lot of those questions throughout the presentation. Then I'll show you what our updated site plan looks like and kind of highlight some of the areas that we changed based on the feedback from the last meeting. And then part of that is we'll show you the updated renderings, and then I'll talk a little bit about view sheds. And then obviously afterwards, questions and answers. We'll stick around as long as you want us to with questions. One thing I failed to do is I do appreciate everybody being here. I think from the first neighborhood meeting to this submittal, we got a lot of feedback that improved the project. This is when this public process works, that's what happens. So we appreciate you being here and appreciate your feedback. All right, so location map, Kyle's already covered that. You all know where it is. If you've been there, you know that the property is dirt right now. It's one of two dirt pads. This is the southernmost dirt pad. Kyle mentioned that back in 98-99, the development plan was, development plan or development package, synonymous terms, was approved for the site. Just to give you a little bit of background on what that is, kind of expand on what Kyle said. Anytime you do a commercial development in Oro Valley or really anywhere, you have to have a plan that shows exactly what the site is going to look like, how it's going to lay it out. This is basically a two-dimensional horizontal plan of the site. Doesn't include things like building plans and vertical plans, but it really shows how the site is going to function, how it's going to be laid out. Staff uses this to make sure that all of the zoning code provisions are met. Maybe there's some rezoning conditions, things like that. It shows where the building's located, where the parking's going to be located, where the access lanes are located. It basically says where everything is going to be on that site. And once you get that approved, then you can lawfully build that. So as Kyle mentioned, on our site currently, on that dirt pad, we're approved for 5,900 square feet, a little over that, for a building. What we're proposing is significantly smaller, and I think based on what the feedback we got the last meeting, what we've done, we've really improved that site, and I think it does fit in well with the center. There was also, back when this development plan was approved, there was also an agreement with the town that essentially did a few things. It gave, if you see on the left or the west of the development, there's a bunch of open space there. That was the original developer's open space. They essentially gave that to the town in exchange for just for things that aren't relevant here. But what the development agreement did say is that this site is contemplated to be used for a convenience use. In the town, a convenience use includes drive-throughs. It includes some other uses as well. But so I just wanted to point that out. From the beginning of this development, a drive-through use is something that was at least contemplated and thought that these two pads out closer to La Cholla would be appropriate for drive-thrus. Okay, so back in June of last year, a little over a year from now, was the first meeting. These are just some snippets from that meeting, the original site plan, some original architecture. The architecture was sort of presented as kind of a placeholder for the actual architecture. At that time, they hadn't worked through the real design of the building. They just wanted to show what a typical tropical smoothie looks like. We're going to show you what this one will look like, and I think you'll see that it is much more appropriate for the center. It takes on the architecture of some of the other portions of the center. It's a very nice-looking building, and I think fits well. Also meets, importantly, the design standards of the town. The original site plan was, again, also in kind of an early stage, but it had things like the trash dumpster at the back of the property. Didn't show a lot of landscaping because it was sort of early in the process. Had a little bit of outdoor seating towards the front. I'm going to show you as we go on that these are a lot of the things that we've changed through this process, and I think have improved it, again, mainly based on this process. All right, so here's the new site plan that we have submitted. For those of you who weren't here at the last meeting, I want to just kind of step back and make sure you understand what we're proposing. So a tropical smoothie cafe is a fast casual restaurant. It does have a drive-through, but it primarily serves smoothies. It does do food, but they're sandwiches, wraps. They don't have a fryer, so it's food that's a little bit healthier, and I think probably more importantly from a land use standpoint, it's not food that creates a lot of odor. The building doesn't even need a hood, a vent hood, because there's not that kind of burgers and fries going on in there. So from an odor standpoint, it's a food use that doesn't really create any negative impacts. There is some indoor seating. Again, the building's just over 1,600 square feet, so it's a pretty small building. But it does have some indoor seating, and we've increased the outdoor seating area quite a bit just to kind of soften that area on the north side of the building closest to Harvest. The drive-through has 8 spaces. Stacking spaces between the window and the entrance of the drive-through, and that's a purposeful amount based on the town's requirements. I don't think the town has a specific stacking requirement. Essentially, what the town says is, go look at similar uses, concepts, and come to us and justify why that stacking is enough. Thankfully, we have at the time of the first submittal, we had a location open down at Houghton Town Center, kind of close to Vail. And we were able to do studies on the drive-through use there to determine that at the busiest peak hour of traffic, and that was like from 11 a.m. to noon, the most cars they got in that hour was 26 cars. The average time to get a car through the drive-through lane was about 2 minutes, and the most stacking they had in that peak hour was 7 cars. So we have a drive-through of 8 cars, and we think that that's ample and that it won't cause any issues with cars backing up into the center parking lot. I'll talk a little bit more about this, but parking, the current parking, if you go out there right now, there's currently 26 spaces, and they're along the south side of the dirt lot, and then they're along the frontage of La Cholla. So with our project, we'll have 32 spaces, so it's going to be a net positive of 6 spaces. I think as important is the fact that this restaurant will primarily be drive-through. Most of the business and traffic will be drive-through. So the parking load for this restaurant is very low. So not only are we adding 6 spaces, but I think I would estimate half or more of the spaces will always be available for the other businesses in the center, and there's a cross parking agreement, and they're able to use those. So I think overall there's going to be a net positive effect on parking in the center. Okay. All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the changes, some of the things we heard at the last meeting. The first, and Kyle's mentioned most of these, but the first is screening. So one of the concerns is the impact of the drive-through on the adjacent businesses. What's that going to look like, whether it's noise, or odor, light? So one of the ways that we can address noise and light is through enhanced screening. Now, the town's code says you have to have a 3.5-foot screen wall around a drive-through. What we've done is add to that. In the areas closest to Harvest and closest to Cafe Torino, we've added another 3 feet of trellis that will have vegetation on it, have vines on it. So that's in those areas that are directly across from those restaurants. At the corner, I don't think this will work. Yeah, it won't work. At the corner, as you can kind of see, the top right hand graphic is obviously the building, and the green is the screen wall. At the corner, we're going to add another foot of height to that screen to help, again, cut down on at night headlights, and help with noise. And then all throughout, we've done some enhanced landscaping in front of those screen walls as well. Kind of playing on the landscape theme, what we've shifted around on the site is going to add some landscaping and really put it in the places where I think are most important, particularly sort of facing that Harvest patio area. So on the left is the old site plan. It shows that we had the trash dumpster in the back. I'll talk a little bit more about where we're relocating that in a minute. Just had a few parking spaces and a little bit of landscaping. So what we've done is add 6 parking spaces to that row. Those parking spaces are likely not going to be used by our customers, so they really help out with Breadsmith and Harvest's parking. And then we've added a larger landscaped area. We've got a couple benches in there, in that area that are going to face the Harvest patio. That'll soften the impact, and it'll look nice. Beyond that, beyond the drive-through, there's another area of kind of enhanced landscaping with more trees. And then we've moved the seating area there as well to kind of, again, soften that area, create some mitigation between the building and the Harvest patio. There's also landscaping through, I'm not sure what that green line is there, that's some sort of a mistake, but in the front and in the northwest corner of the parking lot, there is.
So you can draw on this and you can tap here.
Oh, all right. Well, I didn't mean to draw it. Good. All right. So in those areas, again, the northwest of the property out towards La Cholla, additional landscaping, in addition to the landscaping that's in the right-of-way along La Cholla. I'm sorry, La Cunada as well. Trash and loading. So we heard loud and clear the trash dumpster was not in a good location. And that was that. I think that's a good move for everybody. We've talked to the center operators, and we're able to use the existing trash locations that are at the southeast corner of the property by La Cunada. We'll obviously work with the center management and the other tenants to make sure that when we open that the dumpsters are emptied timely and that the dumpsters are sized right, so that we won't have any impact on the other tenants. But I think for everybody, that makes the most sense. It gets the trash away from all the users, and it's definitely not there right in front of Breadsmith, which we understand wasn't really a popular thing. Loading, we don't anticipate, big trucks. You think there'll be box trucks. If there's a need to have loading at, if it's during a crowded time or we need a loading area, there's actually 2 loading spaces that are just to our southwest, so very convenient and spaces that are basically already there and available. Okay, so I think one of the biggest things that came up last time was about architecture. So we've actually had time to sort of flush through the architecture more. Our designers have looked at the existing building, have taken elements from that existing building and incorporated it into to this design. So if you notice the block work, the brick arches, the stucco colors, those all are they've come from the portion of the building where Subway is. And the intent is to have this building just blend with the existing center. So this is a view of the front of the building. This is a view of the basically the main entrance to the building. This is north, so you'll see the outdoor seating area, the blue umbrellas. And this is a little bit different view of that same side, more from La Cañada. So you see kind of the enhanced landscaping area there. This is the same side, but looking more from the west and kind of down the drive-through access. And then this is the exit of the drive-through. And then just another view from kind of above. And then this is, if you were at Cafe Torino, looking over with, again, the screening, the vegetative screening. And then this is kind of the back where the drive-thru is. Okay, so we did get some questions last time about parking and circulation. I've kind of talked about parking that we'll have six additional spaces. Circulation, so the light green arrows are kind of where we think that the primary circulation will be on this site. It's the entrance that is closest to the building. From that entrance, then cars will go in front of the building, hang a left to go to the drive-through entrance, order at the kiosk, pick up their food, and then likely leave out of that same exit. There's two other possible entry points to the center, you probably know. One is off of Lambert, just because of the proximity of the building. It's probably the least likely to be used, but it could be used. And traffic would come into that entrance, either go left or right at what's now the other vacant parcel, and then go to the drive-through entrance. I think a little bit more likely is the northern entrance on La Cañada. If they use that, then they'll be using the front of the center to get to the drive-through entrance, and then again kind of go through, order, get their food, and leave. Likely most of the traffic will exit right out of La Cañada. If they from there, then they just, if they need to go north, they go down and do a U-turn. If they need to go south, they're there. So another concern with really all drive-throughs is the sound coming from the ordering kiosk. The town requires a noise study be done, which is, I think in this case, is a good thing, because what it basically shows is from the kiosk, which is right at the center, kind of there's a red and green area right there, that coming at the sound coming out of that is at about 60, 65 decibels, which if you look over on that chart, it's kind of small, but 60 is sort of moderate to quiet conversation, so probably about as loud as I'm talking now, maybe even less. But from there, as you get further away from the noise, or from the microphone and the speaker, the decibels go down from 60, the orange is 55 to 50, and then the yellow is 50 to 45 and 40 decibels. What the noise study said is two things. During the day, the traffic from the road is going to be is louder at a higher decibel rate than the speaker. At night, then, these decibel readings, when there's not as much noise from the road, these decibel readings are what the noise study estimates. And these are well below the town's noise ordinance requirements. And then by the time it gets the sound gets out of the commercial area into the residential area, it's actually nobody will be able to hear it past that point. Okay, so finally, one of the concerns we wanted to sort of at least show you what we looked at is view sheds. So right now, the view sheds, there's nothing blocking on our parcel because it's dirt. There's nothing there. And when we build our project, which is, again, it's about 27% of what's allowed there, there is obviously going to be some blocking of the view from the harvest patio. We just simply can't get around that. But at 25% of what could be there, it's significantly less than if there was construction of the full building, right? So that blocks a significant portion of the view. Still not the full view, but it still blocks a big portion. I mentioned earlier that Nico owns the property, so he's going to have to build something there. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that the vacant lot is not going to be there that much longer. In the next year or two, the vacant lot is going to be replaced by something. Hopefully, it's going to be replaced by the current proposal, the tropical smoothie. But if that doesn't get approved, then something has got to be built there. It just can't be left vacant land. So I just want to make sure, and I don't want that to come off as, you know, as a threat or anything. It's just a fact that something is going to be built there. And I just want to make sure everybody sort of is comfortable with that and understands that. So, and that's all I have for the presentation.
All right. So now we want to turn the evening over to all of you. Again, it's the applicant's charge to justify their requests, so they'll be answering most of your questions and comments, but staff is also here to assist. So this goes for both staff and the applicant. We aim to not use jargon, but if you hear something you don't understand, please let us know so we can try to rephrase. As you will see in a moment, Ms. Alex Chavez will be scribing your comments and questions. These will be used to help staff formulate a recommendation, and they will also be forwarded to the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Town Council. All right. Now, for those who are joining us on Zoom, you will need to raise your computer-generated or telephone-generated hand. And to do this, if you're using a desktop or similar device, you'll want to look for the raise hand or the more icon. They should look like what's on the screen now. They may be located at the top or the bottom of your screen, depending on what type of device you are using. If you are using a telephone, you will want to press *9 to raise your hand. Raise hands are moved to the top of the list in the order in which they were received. When prompted, you will be asked, I will call on your name, and then you will be asked to unmute yourself so you can ask your question or give your comment. Once you ask your question or comment, you will be remuted so the speaker can answer. But please make sure you are unmuted on your side as well. And for those in person, you can just raise your hand if you have a question or comment, but I do ask that you wait for Mr. Packer, who will be walking over with a mic, because the only way we can make sure your question or comments recorded or those online can hear is if you speak into the mic. Now, my goal is to get to as many folks as possible and get as many questions or comments as possible. And to do so, I'm going to be toggling back and forth between those of you in person and those of you online. So please bear with me. But again, our goal tonight is to address your questions, discuss your comments and concerns, and hopefully find some possible design solutions to mitigate any of your concerns. Because again, this is the best opportunity for you to effectuate change. So with that, if we can get the notes on one slide. And while they're doing that, before we get into questions or comments about the design, I first, again, want to make sure everybody understands what the review process is, the code requirements, and overall have an understanding of what's being proposed. So are there any questions from the presentations that we can clarify? You can raise your hand, and if you're on Zoom and if you have any questions that we can clarify from the presentation. All right. So now, in a minute, we're going to go through each of these topics in detail and kind of discuss each as a group. Before we do so, though, I want to make sure our list is comprehensive. So at the first neighborhood meeting, there were concerns and comments regarding traffic and parking, but also compatibility to the center. So how a drive-through works thematically within this existing center. The views from the adjacent patios, the signs, lighting, architecture, trash enclosure location. But are there any other concerns or comments not on this list that you have? If you'd raise your hand. Also online, if you have any questions or comments that are on the list before we start going through each item. No? Okay. We'll have more opportunities. So if anything comes up, raise your hand. All right. So I want to start looking. I'm going to go from what we got the most comments on through each topic. So first is traffic and parking. Does anybody have any concerns, comments, or questions about what was presented tonight regarding traffic or parking? And I'm not seeing hands online either. No? All right. So now I'm going to kind of bunch some of the other ones together into compatibility. Are there concerns, comments, or questions about how this use works within the existing center or the views from the adjacent patios? Yep. Mr. Packer? And if you want to come.
I was wondering if anybody attendance today is from works at Harvest or Torino's or Subway, any of the and Bed Smith or those other businesses, and if they're here, if they have any comments of what negative aspects they would expect to happen to their establishments if this was built.
Mr. Juneman? So the question was if anyone from Harvest was at the last neighborhood meeting and raised any concerns of negative impacts to their establishment, correct? May summarizing?
Basically, but most all the businesses along the L shape part that's going to be most affected with this smoothies place.
So the effect of the property on the businesses around it. So Mr. Juneman?
Yeah, if your question is, was somebody from Harvest at the last meeting? Yes. And
I'm wondering if they're here now.
So yeah.
They're okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear, you know, what their comments, what type of negative effects they expect to happen.
Yeah.
Do you have a comment you'd like to, or a question? And one moment while we get the mic back to you. Sorry.
Obviously, our bigger concern is the view of the mountains and, additional noise, traffic, and all of that. But the point is, they already bought the land. Something is going to build. So my question for the planning and zoning, if this project doesn't go through, what could? Could it be an automotive place?
Sure. So, Mr. Packer, if you want to answer that.
Would it be, if it's a retail or an office building, what's the restriction on size? Height's 25 feet, right? But what's the restriction on size and the location of the building?
Yeah, great. So, Mr. Packer, he can answer that question.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I'll come up to the front to speak briefly. With this, again, the zoning for this parcel is CN or neighborhood commercial. So that primarily, the full answer is going to be the list of permitted uses within the zoning table. But again, it's primarily going to be retail, office, and restaurant uses. You're not anywhere near as likely to see more intensive uses like automotive or more industrial uses. Manufacturing, for example, is not going to be a use that you would typically be able to see in this kind of project. So again, it'll be matching the compatibility with that surrounding zoning, which is also CN for that entire plaza.
And Mr. Packer, what size could be built there in terms of the building square footage?
Absolutely. As was approved in the 1999 development plan, the footprint there was approved at 5,950 square feet. So that would be the probably largest building that would be approved.
Is that including parking?
That is just the building footprint. That is not including the parking.
That size building allows for parking? I mean, that's
yes.
Parking.
Yeah.
So for those online, the follow-up question was, with that size building, would they have enough parking? And the original development plan did plan accordingly to have enough parking for that size of a building. Right. Are there comments? Oh, yes, sir. Yeah. One moment, sir.
Just
one moment.
The location of speaker can be moved to the most eastern north corner. When the cars come and stop, where do they stop to place an order?
Here, you can put the site plan back on.
Yeah, let's put the site plan on. So I think when we worked with the town, the town's request was to have four car spacing between the window and the speaker and the ordering kiosk, and four car spacing beyond it. So that's why we chose.
Is that a minimum or? We can exceed that.
We had the 8-car spacing, so what the desired location for the kiosk in working with the town was to have that halfway through. And it sort of makes sense is that you have somebody come in an order, that allows four people to be waiting to pick up their order while you've got four people waiting for the kiosk. So I'm not sure of the ability. I think we'd have to work with the town to try to You would like to move it
as far as possible from part of space.
Can it be moved, I guess, further around the corner, correct? That's your question?
Northeast.
Yeah. The northeast corner. Yeah.
The northeast corner is up
there. Up left. Upper left. Right?
So,
no, I think,
This is the northeast corner, so.
Right.
And here, the kiosk is right. Here's the ordering window, and here's the microphone.
So, sir, just to clarify, are you asking if the entire building could be moved to the northern vacant pad?
Well, if I had a wish list, I would like the entire building not to be built. If it's going to be built, I would like it to be moved as much as possible to the southeastern corner, as much as possible. With the speaker as much as possible away from Harvest Patio. If we could, the trees that you're building, if you could make sure those trees don't grow up to further obstruct the view, and just maybe bushes and stuff like that, not long, tall trees. And the other location was, where is your location of your patio right now?
The patio is here.
Can you show me that on that?
That green, I just did a green, here's
on
the
what
patio.
Corner?
See how he's drawing up? It's a little green.
Right here.
See. Just above the building.
Is it the right hand, right top?
Where it says 15 foot.
Do you circle the whole patio?
Here's the patio.
There you go. I see it. And there is no way to move that patio to the south of the building. And that would further expand over here if there is a patio. It's an open patio.
So I don't think there's... So let me... You've asked several questions.
Yeah.
So I think the first question of can we move the building to the southeast, right now we've got parking. I think it's at the farthest southeast we can. Because we have a row of parking, which nobody wants to lose. Then we have our driveway, and then we have the building. And so we've pushed it as far east and south as we can and comply with the other code requirements, right? Because we've got a certain amount of parking depth we've got to meet. We've got sidewalks. All of it's kind of like a big puzzle in putting this together. And we've moved it as far to the southeast as we can. So that answers your first question.
I say, and then also your second item was the trees and not planting trees that are going to be super tall and then block the views. So do you know what types of trees you're going to put in there yet, or is that probably?
Tall ones.
Yeah. Right now this is the conceptual design, so we haven't identified species, so there can still be a discussion about that, but there are smaller varieties.
So
there's an opportunity to have some trees that are shorter and don't grow too tall.
Yeah. So okay. Do you agree to look into doing the shorter trees that still block this? Because I think still block the drive-through, but aren't so tall. They're
you okay with that? All right.
Yeah. Blocking. Yeah. Would that help, sir?
Yeah.
With the trees? Okay. And then the third one. We had one more over here, and we'll come back over. The third item was regarding the patio and if it could be moved to the southern side of the building.
I think part of the thought in working with the town on locating the patio there is that our patio, and again, this restaurant is not going to be a heavy, like in-person dining, right? I think most of this is going to be a drive-through traffic or drive-through customers, but we did want to create sort of an outdoor space that in some ways we thought that might complement Harvest. They're completely different restaurant types, but outdoor space to outdoor space we thought would be a little bit more complementary. So I don't see it as a space that's going to be used a lot. So maybe I don't understand the concern about the patio.
Instead of a building, on the south side, you have a patio, which means I can see over it. I can see over the people sitting down, over trees, over all of that, instead of a building. So if you move the patio here, there is less of a view blocking from our patio.
So on that patio, the highest thing it's going to have are some umbrellas.
Right. That's what I wanted on the south side.
But if you flip-flop that with the building's taller. It's going to impede the I mean, if you're saying you want us to move the building further south, as we said,
Not going to happen.
We don't have room for that.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, so the other option is switching the patio and the building, and I don't think you want that either, right?
Well, I mean, if the patio is in that corner, it's a lot less blocking the view. If it's on the other side, which doesn't affect our view, we're still looking at that building.
Yeah.
We would like to look at the patio. Because it enhances the view.
It limits the blocking.
And if that happens, we've got to... I think we lose stacking space. There's a whole lot of things that I think are probably more negative than positive.
Yeah. And if I may, I think we can definitely, sir, when we're done with the meeting, if you'll come up here, because I think there's just some confusion, too, on... what corners and everything. So we're happy to work with you looking at the design. One moment, let me go make sure everybody, but thank you. I want to make sure there was a question over here. I think I saw, okay. You can, sir. And then again, if you're online, make sure you raise your computer or telephone generated hand so we can
unmute. I think
you.
This is still involved in compatibility, but it also is under the questions because I was not at the first meeting.
Sure.
But I noticed that someone asked whether the vacant pad on the northern side of it could be where you place it. And to me, that sounds like a reasonable request because, one, you probably will be within the code of being 250 feet from residential areas. And two, I think you would have, you still have your two entrances and exits, and but you have more of part, there will be less impact, I think, on harvest and terrains and all the things like that.
And that all makes sense. When the property was, first of all, the property has been acquired. So Nico owns this property. At the time, though, when this all started, before he did, that other parcel was under contract. It wasn't available. I think since then it's dropped out of contract. But by the time that he had gone through most of the process, the first neighborhood meeting, and then he was in a contract to buy this one, it was not possible to buy it. So it, you're completely all that makes sense, but it just wasn't feasible at the beginning, and now. Now we own the property, so.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct. So for those of you online, the comment was that the person who wants to build the tropical smoothie already owns that vacant pad. I also saw a hand raise online, but then it went back down, so.
Can I add one thing? That's why that I sort of explained, look, something is going to be built here because he owns this now.
So, all right. So, just quickly, if you meant to raise your hand online, make sure you do it because it did go back down. We'll go to this lady right here and then this gentleman up here.
Hello, my name is Anne, and I've lived in Oro Valley for about a decade now. I come from New York, and I know what happens when the desert is gone, it's gone. And when our views are gone, they're gone. And I understand this restaurant has a right, this landowner has a right to build. I get that. Mm-hmm. But is there any way to know your audience in Oro Valley? There's a lot of people with gray hair like me, and they don't necessarily want to eat in their car. They want to get out. They got a little mm-hmm. time. They want to go in. It would seem like it would be a nice place to just park the car and go eat on that patio rather than it being a drive-through and then negatively impacting harvest. So that's one thing. My second part of my comment is Oro Valley used to have such incredible standards. And if I wanted to live in Phoenix, I would live in Phoenix. I kind of like the little bit of a little like small town-ishness. Even with my bad accent. So what I'm saying is, like, back in the day, Target down on Oracle, Oro Valley wouldn't let them put the red balls. I think it might be the only Target in the country that doesn't have the red balls. Because you know why? We didn't want the red balls. We didn't want it. Like, it wasn't pretty. So what I'm saying is we just need to preserve Oro Valley. We can't let it become, because once it's gone, it's gone. We have to kind of just like rein it in a little bit. We can't have like every house looking like it's like, you know, Joan, what are you making for dinner? You know, it can't be too close. We need to have, because I know I'm coming from a place where that used to be really uber pretty, and then it wasn't pretty anymore. Mm-hmm. And one thing I can say about Long Island is, you would never block a water view. You just wouldn't do it. And there are places that I couldn't live because I couldn't afford it. Like, we need to learn the word exclusive a little bit. This is a diamond, and we can't lose it. So our friend who owns Harvest, it's the most beautiful place, awesome people. He's a doll. And whenever we have people come from out of town, we go, let's go to Harvest. And we go, we look, and we sit at the mountain, and we go, like, look how lucky we are to live here. So what I'm saying is, we want you in our town. We really do. We love young people and entrepreneurs. But we have to, you have to, like, come in and fit within us. You can't, like, you know what I mean? You have to assimilate. You can't just break us. Mm-hmm. So try, like, maybe, why does it have to be a drive-thru? And that's all I have to say.
Sure. Thank you. No, I appreciate it. And your accent's great. No, not at all. So I think there's a couple of things there. This is, I realize there's going to be some impact on the view, but it is a sliver of the view. And the fact is that this is a center that has always anticipated those pads to be built. I mean, they're dirt for a reason. So this is much different than sort of building out into the desert or building in an area that we're like rezoning to build something new. The expectation had to be that something was going to be built there and block some view always, right? Now the drive-through, it's a good question. I think since the pandemic, the demand for drive-throughs has really increased significantly. So there's a segment of the population that would prefer to go sit down, and actually you can in this restaurant, inside or out. But there's also, especially for a smoothie shop, there is a desire to kind of grab it on the go. So part of it is just responding to that general demand for increased drive-throughs. I will say this. I think this is one of the nicer, fast, casual-looking restaurants because it's in Oro Valley, because they have higher standards. The amount, there's an increased cost, and which is perfectly fine, to do this level of architecture on this building, and that's because you and they are going to be in Oro Valley that has higher standards. So I would argue that by living here, there are higher standards that apply, and they have to meet those, and they definitely, I think, have, compared to what, you know, what the original drawing looked like, which is what's built in out in Vail and down in Tucson, and so.
And Mr. Packer, if you don't mind, sir, we'll take the follow-up there, and we'll come right over to you.
My name is Jerry Roberts, and I was instrumental in getting this to CNN zoning. I have a copy of it here. Here's the paper that came out in 2001. The developer and the people in Oro Valley finally reached an agreement to what they were going to put on that corner. One thing that stipulates here in that's signed by the mayor, the attorneys for Oro Valley, all their signatures saying this is what's going to go on that corner. One thing that's in here that was concerned at that time is a drive-through fast food. And it said in here that definitely there would not be a drive-through restaurant. So I don't know, does this mean anything that we have the mayor's signature, the city attorney, the city council signing all this, saying this is what's going to be there, and then they just come in and change it? I think that Mr. Lomas, Paul Lomas, the mayor, one thing that I still remember what he said, when the place was full of people that was here, there was not even sitting room, standing only, and he told the developer, he says, you can really see that the people are concerned what's going to be built in their neighborhood. So I would recommend to you to go to the people, talk to them, and reach an agreement, and then come back. I had probably maybe for the 3 years this took that I kind of fought this situation because he wanted C2 commercial. He was going to tear down the hill. He was going to put apartments on top. And then he was going to do businesses all inside there, but the hill was going to come down. But when we bought our home, we were told that was hillside protected, nothing could be built on it or whatever. And the only reason I caught this situation is that there was a guy out there surveying, and he happened to be next to my property. And I says, what are you doing here? And he says, oh, I'm here to survey this because they're going to change the zoning here that was originally three houses to be built on the property. He says they're going to change it to C2 commercial. And that's when I quit my job, and I fought this for 3 years. And the thing is, there were so many people that was here. There was not even standing room. There were so many people. And I had buttons made up, no C2 commercial. And I just really think, I'm nothing against this restaurant, I mean this thing here, but I am against what we were discussed, the people we didn't want drive-thrus. And because, let me tell you, if this one gets in, another one's going to get in. So that's what I'm saying. Let the people go in and buy their drink or whatever it is, and we don't need a drive-through. And I think we should be consideration more for the people that have been there a long time, those restaurants and everything, doing business. And it's kind of funny. The original fight on this thing happened on my birthday, June 8th. I'm 85 now. And anyway, here again, this last first meeting was June 8th on my birthday. And I said, it's kind of ironic. Here we are back in the council stuff again. And I thought today there would be a city council because they're the ones that represent us. We vote for them to represent us, and they've got to do it. So that's all I'm saying. I have nothing against your restaurant like that, but that was one of the things, and stipulated right in, was signed by the mayor, council, attorney, everyone, that there would not be a drive-through on that development.
And so, sir, or Mr. Jubin, do you want to talk about the development agreement?
So maybe when we're done, I'd like to see that because there's a development agreement for this project recorded against the property, signed by the mayor, that says in the recitals a convenience use, which under the town code includes a drive-through, is contemplated for those two parcels that are on. And I can show you afterwards. And
I read it there.
And
he read right here.
Sure.
Signatures of the mayor, the city attorney.
It says excluding.
Okay.
Excluding.
We'll, maybe afterwards we'll look and see because that's not
written right in. Yeah.
And I'm going to ask Mr. Packer to follow up with regard from the town's perspective on the development agreement. And then also, would you let folks know how many drive-thrus can be in the center? Because that was a question.
Yeah, absolutely. Based on, so just to speak to that document, that is a development agreement. That is something that the town cannot enforce at this point. So that is part of that reasoning behind that drive-through use being possible. And then similarly, based on the acreage of this overall site, I believe there is not more than one drive-through use allowed or convenience use allowed.
That's correct.
But it still needs a conditional use permit.
Correct.
That's not been granted.
That hasn't been granted.
Correct. Correct. This is that process.
Yep. Right.
So, so the development agreement, we aren't able to enforce, but the drive-through does require a conditional use permit, which does go to the Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council. Yeah, and so that's online. The conditional use permit request is online at ovprojects.com. The engineer, and then we're going to go to the gentleman in the blue polo.
I just want to touch on that number of drive-through things because I don't want anything to be misrepresented. The original 4 acres on the west half of that property that got deeded over to the town per that agreement can be counted towards the overall acreage that is used for those determinations. So two drive-thrus could be used on that property.
So the hill behind Harvest used to be private property that they could develop. That's been given over to the town. So if we can go to the gentleman in the blue polo, please.
Yes. Hi, my name's Jim. And I just have a problem with the drive-through with the proximity to the patios at Harvest and Cafe Torino. We like to sit there. We like to have dinner. And you mentioned the drive-through was going to accommodate 8 cars. Well, people like pickups out here, and a lot of them like diesel pickups. And if I'm sitting on a patio, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. And you will. It's just that close. It's too close. Okay. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Juman, any response to the drive-through?
I think based on the other restaurants, what they found is that it's about a 2 minute time between entering the drive-through and exiting the drive-through. So I don't think there's the likelihood of some of a vehicle sitting there for a long period of time, I think, is low. So, you know, if they were parked there for a long time, I could see that. But I think that...
Well, 2 minutes, if you've ever been behind a diesel pickup in traffic with your windows down, 2 minutes is a long time. And you're not going to be able to avoid it. It's going to be there.
The short nature of 2 minutes, and if it's a diesel truck, there are some diesel trucks.
Well,
but I think most vehicles are regular vehicles, regular car vehicles. So the distance between that drive-through and those patios and the short time it takes to get through and the fact that, yeah, there's an 8-car stacking, but most of the time there's going to be significantly less than 8 cars. That 7 cars was the most on a busy lunch day at this other location. So I think there's... Yeah, I understand the concern. I think the reality is that there's not going to be 6, 7, 8 cars in there all the time. It's going to be a lot less.
It's not going to be cars. It's going to be trucks.
We're going to go to this gentleman.
Oh. Add on to that. Do you mind?
Sure.
Quick. Right, yeah. Again, back to the whole New York thing. Mm-hmm. Are you a native of Arizona?
No.
Okay. Shockingly, drive-throughs and like McDonald's, Wendy's, I've never in my life when I arrived here did they take my name and told me to drive around, because it doesn't go that fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of mañana, a little bit tomorrow action. You know, if it was like a 2 minutes, but I've lived here now a decade and I still take my name as I'm driving around. So I don't think it's the greatest thing. We want them. We want them to come and be a great restaurant. Just on a drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we hear that there's still concerns over the drive-through use. Definitely hear you loud and clear. But, as they move forward, are there ways to make the drive-through use more compatible or to help with your concerns? I saw you meant no. Because, you know, if there are, we want to hear them now. This is the best opportunity to hear if there's ways to make it more compatible to the existing center when they move forward. And sir, I think you had your hand raised.
First of all, I agree with that man over there and this couple and you're not taking into account the fact that trucks, cars, whatever, you have a cumulative effects. You're just thinking, this guy's going to leave. Next car's coming, accumulates more and more. And pretty soon, you're probably going to smell it. And if you can smell it, then it's not a problem. And it kind of ruins your meals, and it ruins the basic environment for people. That's why I'm afraid that both Torino's and Harvest will see a reduction in their customers, because a lot of people like eating out and eating on in these patios. Mm-hmm. And if they start thinking, well, I don't like this. So you only have so much, room. Tend to talk with my hands. Now, you only have so much room in the restaurants, but with the patios, it really helps increase their things. If they don't have as many customers, they're not going to have as many people working for them.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be reducing anyway. And as I understand with these drive-throughs, what you're suggesting is that you have a smaller number of people working at these places. They're not going to be a major employers and stuff. Not when you compare with Harvest and Torino's and stuff. That's the wrong one. There's also, I want to make a comment that cities around the country are now realizing these drive-throughs. I would be happier with this. I agree with the man, but this wasn't a drive-through. Drive-throughs have not been good with other cities, including Mesa. You might want to contact your counter people in Mesa and see why are they rethinking drive-throughs and stuff. And I'll tell you, and then finally, I think this also adds a possibility that you have accidents, car accidents, and more concern is you have a possibility of having people get hit while they're walking along the sidewalks or bicycling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot, I'm sure, I was a teenager once too, and I know you don't always pay attention to going out. If you get through the drive-through, you want to get out, go wherever you're going and stuff. And if they're leaving there, and there's people walking along the sidewalks or bicycling, and there's a lot of bicyclists in this town, that there's a higher possibility of having accidents. And I've already lost a couple friends who got hit by cars.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So,
thank you, sir. Sorry.
That's okay.
So let me answer that last question about accidents. Look, there's going to be something built here. There's going to be some sort of traffic. So whether it's this restaurant or another restaurant, there's always a risk that something can happen. I don't think because of this use that's going to increase a risk of accidents. I think that's going to be there regardless. I understand what you're saying, but I think that's, that risk is going to be there whether it's this use or an alternative use. To your point about other cities looking at drive-thrus, you're absolutely right. There's other cities that are looking at them, but where they're looking at them are those areas of town that they're trying to make it less car-centric and more multimodal, so more bikes, more pedestrians around here, the city of Tucson, downtown, university area. Those are probably areas where a drive-thru isn't appropriate because they're trying to have less cars in that area and more pedestrian. I don't think that applies to most of Tucson, including most of Oro Valley. So this is right next to La Cañada and Lambert, two major streets. So I would sort of argue that this is a better appropriate location for something that's more in demand. Finally, about Harvest and Cafe Torino losing business. I think there's a good possibility that if you get another business in the center and get both of those pads filled, that Harvest and Cafe Torino actually increase business because you're getting more visibility. You're getting people that maybe don't know that those restaurants are there. They stop by, they get a smoothie, they see Harvest, and it's like, oh, next time I want to go out to dinner, I'm going to try that place. I think there is an absolute, I think it's proven that if you have more business in a center, everybody kind of wins. So,
all right, we're going to go to this gentleman in the cap, and then we're going to go online to Simone Frischon.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Sean Lieb. I'm a commercial real estate broker in Phoenix. I'm a native to Arizona. I went to University of Arizona. Actually, I'm a property owner in Tucson and Marana for drive-through buildings. I represent drive-through restaurant tenants as well as non-restaurant drive-through and other users as well. Worked on many of these projects, and I've heard everyone here, and really, besides the attorney, not many have been pro the drive-through approval. Here are the concerns on, and I just want to mention I have no financial ties to this project, so I'm just here for support. The drive-through and the stacking, and by the way, lowering the size of the height is I think a nice way to help ease the concern between the town, the other businesses here, and going 20 feet instead of 25 feet, shrinking the building size, not building a full size property when you can block more visibility. Frankly, I think the owner could build as much as he wanted up to that certain amount. It's going, in my opinion, I see other businesses coexist and really create some synergy and ties as long as they don't compete with each other. And having a health food concept, in this sense, a quick serve restaurant, does help bring bodies, bring eyeballs to the other tenants. And we haven't really talked about the other tenants here besides the restaurants. Getting eyeballs through the center, whether they come in to sit down or drive through the restaurant, benefits the other co-tenants as well, not just the restaurants that are sit down. You know, the truck comment about having trucks go through. I drive a truck. I don't, you know, think that's going into other businesses when I'm driving through a property. There's other drive-thrus in Oro Valley, and you know, I'm not sure if they've actually hurt people walking through those other drive-thrus as well. That's why Oro Valley approved those other ones, probably in my opinion. And having the potential of having eight diesel trucks in a row, also admitting gas into the patio is very unlikely. I mean, you have Priuses, you have other electric vehicles that are now prominent. You have a Lucid Motor facility that's built in Casa Grande that's, you know, helping, you know, getting more of those vehicles to the town. So overall, just, you know, pro drive-through. And if anybody has questions for me, I don't, you know, I can answer them, but I do feel like this is, you know, pro business and going to help everybody around them.
Right, thank you. And I think the owner wants to.
Yeah, if I could. Thanks, Kyle. I just want to make a quick comment about the economics of developing a property like this. You obviously have the cost of the property, the cost of construction. In order for us to justify the investment into a project like this, we need to determine what the amount of rent is that we can achieve from our tenant. So a lot of that rent is based off of sales volume. And typically, these drive-thrus generate higher sales for the tenant, which allows us to support the project with a certain rent. If we didn't get the drive-through, we would not be able to build that same size building without a drive-through. So I just wanted to mention the economics.
All right. Thank you. If we can have Simone Frischone, I apologize if I mispronounced your name.
No worries at all. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I do just have a quick question on this. If a conditional use permit, is a conditional use permit required if the owner does not build a tropical smoothie and instead decides to build a retail or an office building at the 25-foot height and 5,900 square feet?
Sure, Mr. Packer, if you would.
Absolutely, I can answer that. And the answer is no. They would go through the standard process as far as conceptual site plan, or at this point, a development plan, architecture requirements. These are things where we would still hold neighborhood meetings and public meetings, but the requirements are, as long as they meet code, the project should be approved.
And if I can actually add to that or clarify, if they were building to the existing development plan, they would go through an administrative process. So if they were building the 5,950 square foot building the same way it was approved years ago, they would not do a public review process. The architecture would go through the Planning and Zoning Commission and Council, but there wouldn't be neighborhood meetings, et cetera, if they were building to the pre-approved plan.
Simone, I appreciate that. The risk certainly seems much worse on the possible alternative. So I appreciate your answer.
Okay, and one moment, we'll be right back to you, sir. Has anybody, we're getting closer to 7:30, so I just want to check. Has anybody who has not yet had a chance to ask a question or give a comment, either in person or online, please raise your hand now. If you have not yet had an opportunity to speak. All right, seeing none, we'll go back to the gentleman in the rear.
What's the criteria for planning and zoning to make that exception?
Sure. Mr. Packer, do you want to talk about the CUP criteria for Planning and Zoning Commission?
Yeah, absolutely. So the CUP criteria primarily revolves around compatibility. Again, there are a number of substandards. I'd be happy to share them with you. I'd probably do that offline just so I can get the full list pulled up in front of me. I can't recite it by heart at this moment.
It really focuses on compatibility. So we look at the hours of operation, the traffic, the character, making sure that it's not creating any hazards to existing uses. That's really what it's focused on, is just an extra level of review to make sure it's compatible to the area.
Has there been any kind of exception approved by planning and zoning similar to this?
I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
Has there been any exception approved by planning and zoning similar to this in Oro Valley?
There have been conditional use permits approved for drive-thrus in Oro Valley, yes.
Okay. And that's usually around Oracle Road, right? We don't have anything in the neighborhood, inside the neighborhood. This was used to be, I mean, I don't know if town's still planning to make it downtown there. But like you said, downtown is another place for a drive-thru.
Sure, and I'm not sure if there's any within neighborhood centers off the top of my head. I don't know if Mr. Packer.
Don't bank drive-thrus have to go through a conditional use permit?
No.
No?
They okay. used to.
They yeah, used to?
They did. Yeah, so banks used to have to.
Okay.
Okay, and sir, we'll come up here to the gentleman in the blue shirt.
My question to you. You said you purchased the property already?
Not me, but yeah.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Is why I'm saying is because I know somebody else that was interested in buying one of the lots there. I don't know if it was yours, the one they got, mm-hmm. or the other one. And because he couldn't get the permit or whatever he needed here at Oro Valley, mm-hmm. that he didn't get it. The deal fell through. Mm-hmm. To me, it sounds like, have you already got Oro Valley agreeing you to a use permit on
no.
this?
No.
So why would they put the money up and buy the lot unless they know something?
Because they know that, I'll use a term, as of right, that they can build the 5,900 square foot. It's zoned for that. And if they meet all the code requirements, and
yeah.
then the town can't, they have to be approved if they meet all the code requirements.
Yeah.
So there's a, they bought it because there's a fallback. I think the fact is what we're proposing is a smaller building, has less impact, isn't now with the full design, it's a nice looking building. It'll fit into the center. I know there's concerns about drive-thrus, but I think that's a use that's out there meeting a market demand. So the desire definitely is to get this approved, but there definitely is no, I mean, we have to go through this process, and it is uncertain if we're going to get the approval.
Yeah, but see, that was my question. So that if you don't get the use permit, then it just falls through. So they don't lose their money either.
So what happens if the use permit gets denied?
We have to start this over for the larger building.
All right.
And start the process over. So they don't want to do that. They want this approved. I think it's overall better for I think it from a look standpoint, from a use standpoint, I think it's overall better for the site. But there is a fallback plan. And I think that fallback plan from a visual standpoint is much worse.
Because we had the meetings at my house, and Mr. Nodine, who I believe had your job, he was the head of that part, he signed this too, and he told the people, there was about 60 people at my house, and that was one of the concerns the people brought to him, and he mm-hmm. said, no, it's all here, that can't mm-hmm. be done. But then all of a sudden,
after the meeting, let's look
doesn't
at,
mean a
yeah.
damn thing.
Steph, in terms of the development agreement, we looked into it, or Mr. Packer did as well, correct? Yeah.
You looked in it, and it...
We cannot enforce the development
agreement. I know it's expired, but...
Right,
we're not... This discussion isn't about what rights the development agreement gives, because it's expired. But it does lend some ideas onto what...
So when we looked into it, because it's expired, we can't yeah. enforce it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's kind of where it ends for us, okay. if you will. But you,
let's yeah. offline. Let's just look at it, and because I'm not sure we're on the same page, and I want to see what you have, and I'm just curious.
I've got four boxes.
I don't want to look at four boxes. But
all right. So we're.
If you have that copy there, yeah. I let's just
okay.
Afterwards, let's just meet.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well,
yeah,
if you guys can connect after the meeting. And then also, we are about 7:25. But before we wrap up, I do want to, I'm not seeing any online comments. I do want to ask the gentleman from Harvest. I do want to make it back to your question about the patio. So bear with me. Were you asking if the patio, which is here?
I'm not anymore.
No? Okay. All right. And we're here after, too, if you want to come up and talk about it. So just to kind of wrap up our meeting and some next steps, again, the next step for this project is to be considered by the Planning and Zoning Commission. They are tasked with making a recommendation to Town Council, and Town Council is the ultimate approving body for this request, especially the, for the conditional use permit and development plan. So Planning and Zoning Commission is tentatively scheduled for in August. Again, make sure you sign up if you didn't get an invite to tonight's meeting, because then you'll get a postcard for that meeting. The yellow signs will also go up. Now, to wrap up our meeting, I want to take a moment to kind of look back at our original goals for tonight. So first, I want to make sure, does everybody understand what the next steps for this project are in the review process, as well as the code requirements, for the most part? All right, and if you don't, again, staff is here, so please let us know. We want to make sure everybody leaves tonight understanding that. Secondly, if we'll all, I know it's hard to see, and Alex, if you could do your best to zoom in, we really want to make sure we captured all your comments and concerns. I really appreciate all of you providing your feedback. We've added to the list tonight. We do have an understanding, I think staff and the applicant, that there are concerns with just the drive-through in itself being in the center, which I don't think we're going to resolve tonight. But looking at some of the design solutions, we have captured a couple. One is Mr. Juneman did agree to look into moving that menu board a little bit further northeast. And then also making sure those trees that are especially along that back end are the are lower to block the screen, the drive-through, but not block your views. So those were two design changes that we came up with tonight. So does everybody, does that summarize our conversation tonight? If we missed a comment or you have more comments you want to make, please go see Ms. Chavez. She'll get it down. Or you're always welcome to email Mr. Packer. And so his email is on the screen. It's kpacker@oravalleyaz.gov, as well as his phone number. And again, I encourage you all to go to OV Projects. We'll continue to update that page. A recording of tonight's meeting and the updated neighborhood meeting summary will be on there very shortly. So with that, I want to thank you all for coming and braving the heat and wind and joining us tonight. Thank you.